Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with retired Army Chaplain Scott McChrystal about our real need to get our nation back to our founding values. Then we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show my good friend, Army Chaplain Scott McChrystal. He started his military career as an infantryman, then became a chaplain, and retiring from the Army, he managed military chaplains for his denomination. So glad to have you back, Scott.
Well, it's a privilege always, Denny. Thank you.
Scott, do give our listeners a quick review of your time in Mother Army.
I spent my first 12 years as an infantry officer, spent a year in Vietnam. Spent three tours with the 82nd as an infantryman. And about 1982, so 12 years into it, the Lord just shifted directions, really surprised me. And I wound up becoming a military chaplain and had assignments all over the world. It was a real privilege, and wound up as the senior chaplain at West Point for 7 years. And that experience alone, mixing with all those young future leaders, some of which I imagine today are either promoted to brigadier general or about to be. And so I'm very thankful to have had some influence on a lot of these. They're not youngsters now. They're very capable leaders. And some have left the military, but they're great leaders of character for our nation as well. We need military as well as civilian leadership. So that's kind of a, you know, capsulizing that part of it, Denny.
Okay. Okay. Our topic today is the horrible, divisive, I guess, woke culture that seems to be taking over our nation. I mean, everybody's got a different word for it. There's critical race theory and all that kind of stuff. When our founding fathers created our Constitutional Republic, they created something that was brand new in the world's history. There'd never been one before. And while they did not create a national religion, indeed, the First Amendment prohibits such a thing, they knew that this new nation needed values and culture, and they all agreed that the Judeo-Christian culture was what this nation needed. Even the non-Christians among the founding fathers felt that. This has seen us through our long history, but we're in danger of losing it. We're moving away from it. What are your thoughts on that, Scott?
Well, I would say this as a beginning statement, Denny. When a person, whether they call themselves liberal or conservative, takes a look at our Constitution and fails to respect the wisdom, the incredible intelligence, and the foresight that our leaders, our forefathers, used to put that together to include divine guidance, and now consider it as very moldable, very redactable, and pretty much up for grabs about what we want to follow and what we don't, that, as a starter, puts us in trouble. And you see all sorts of violations, and I'm just going to say it. I will have to point to the three branches of government, and they're supposed to have responsibilities, and there's some overlap. But for a starter, in some of the polls recently, 50% of the Americans polled don't even know the three branches of government, and a shockingly large percentage of people polled can't name one branch of government. So that's one aspect. And then secondly, within the branches of government, we're starting to get crossover, particularly in the executive branch, where the president is just decreeing in a tyrannical way all sorts of things, which, in my opinion, and I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but I do have some common sense, are clearly in violation of the principles set forth in the Constitution. And that greatly concerns me. And you read about it, and this isn't rumor. This is fact. So, yes, Denny, I'm very concerned.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the need to get back to our basic values and culture with Scott McChrystal. Well, Scott, I've always believed, and this is also part of my Christian faith, that if God gives us something, We're supposed to be good stewards of it. We're supposed to take care of it. And he gave us this country. So we, the citizens who received it, are supposed to take care of it. If you needed a car bad and somebody gave you a car and you thanked him for it and then drove it but didn't change the oil, it's not going to last long. And it's your fault. We, the people, have got to get back control of our country and return our country to the values that have worked from the beginning. And they are Judeo-Christian values. That's what our founding fathers wanted for us.
You know, Denny, speaking to that, Friday night, Judy and I had the privilege of going to a high school football game in Miller, Missouri. That's about 45 minutes from Springfield. It's a rural area. And I can tell you what a refreshing experience to be at without be out there with people. Number one, they love America. They love community. They do love football. They love God. And they like the whole idea of unity, not only in the community, but nationally. And people might call these some of the flyover kind of folks, but I'll tell you, they've got more wisdom to include a good dose of common sense with the way they're living their lives and the values that they are teaching their youngsters. I had the privilege of addressing both football teams, and actually I tried to recruit a few of them for the military, just saying that, you know, you can't go wrong sacrificing a few of your years to do something beyond yourself. And Denny, I know you experienced the vast number of observations that I've made from the military. Is some don't fit, but the vast majority get a great deal out of it. They grow from it. And I wish there were more people now that were serving who are or have served, because the military does still in large measure adhere to some of these values we're talking about.
Yeah, they did, at least when we were in it. I don't know that our current leaders do that. I've heard too much of just doing what they told me to do. Yeah, I just abandoned all the Americans in Afghanistan because they just told me to do that. I just obeyed orders. That's like that's what the Gestapo said when they were told to kill Jews. I was just obeying orders.
Yeah, you're right. And if I were to speak my full mind on it, which I won't, I'll just say I've seen enough firsthand sources that tell me we've headed in this direction, and that not all, but there are plenty of senior leaders that are more politically oriented and ambition focused, not only in the military, but beyond. And many of our younger leaders are not fooled. They see right through it. And the biggest examples, I think we probably talked about this last time, is just the sheer lack of focus on the military's mission. If we get into war, we need to win. And what we're focusing on right now is everything but that. Diversity, all sorts of inclusion, critical race theory, vaccinations, and a lot of things that really have next to zero impact on readiness. And I've talked to dozens and dozens of young leaders who are so frustrated because they can't train. They're being forced to listen to briefings and do this and do that. And a number of them are very disenchanted. And a number of pretty senior leaders I know, I'm not talking at the general officer level, I'm talking just below that, are really questioning whether they want to remain even at a general officer level in an organization that is headed in this direction. It's just become too much of a political sort of game, and it's very disturbing and it's heartbreaking.
Yes, sir. There's more to discuss about getting away from wokeism, and Scott's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. Scott and I will be right back. Troops, America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act, so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Chaplain Scott McChrystal on getting our nation back to worthy values. We just have to recognize that the purpose of a military is to kill people and break things. And everything we do needs to make us better at that. Yes, it's nice to have equal opportunity for everybody, but only if it helps us do this. It's a little bit like if you and I got just inherited a bunch of money and decided to start a new professional football team. We can be as creative as we want to, but when it comes to getting the guys who are going to play on the field, we're not worried about diversity. We're not worried about wokeism. We're not worried about anything but who can do the job best. And football, you might call it, is non-lethal combat, but yet we're all worried about all this other nice little stuff for our combat troops. And that's not to say that all the stuff they want us to look at, what race are you and all this sort of stuff. You and I both fought in combat with people of all races and cultures, and we were teams and we did well. And we need to get back to that in our military and in our nation.
You're so right, Denny. And in particular, and I won't single one out, but I look at our service academies. They are really the lifeblood of each of the respective services. And when I see some of the stuff, and I've talked to some people who are up there on the front lines, not cadets only, but I'm talking about certain faculty members that almost feel like they're in a minority and are afraid to speak up about some of the shifting emphasis on many of the topics we've just discussed. And there is just not the the proper focus on inculcating the kinds of values that make good leaders that people want to follow. And that failure alone is, it's disturbing.
Well, this critical race theory thing means that because I'm white, I'm an oppressor, and somebody else is, who's Hispanic or Oriental or Black or something is an oppressed. That's not true. It's not true historically in our nation. And it, how do you build a team with people who are judging each other by their race or their something else instead of by their ability and how good a team member they are?
Exactly. We ought to be in our promotions and in job selections. We ought to be looking, not that we pay zero attention to diversity. I'm glad women are getting a better place in the military. I praise God for that. But overall, though, we've got to, instead of following affirmative action to make sure we have X number of this type of individual, we need to be thinking about who's the best qualified. Because as we discussed the other week, the enemy couldn't care less.
That's a
really
good point.
They will exploit our weaknesses, and it will hurt us. It'll devastate us if we're not going to change course here.
And that's the path we're on. That's the path we're on in America, and it's the path we're on in our military. And this sounds narrow-minded, perhaps, but we need to get back to a God focus. I don't care what denomination, I don't even care what religion, but we have to have values that put others first. We have to have values that what we do honors the God that we serve, or we're on a ramp that's going to dump us somewhere we don't want to be. And we're going down that ramp pretty fast right now, I think.
Unfortunately, we are. And, you know, as the scripture said, you've heard it many times, we're tending to call good evil and evil good. And that's being lived out in a number of systems, not only in the overall culture, but certainly in government and in our military. And I wish it were not true. I wish that it were a rumor. But like you, I read, I pay attention, I read widely. I don't have to agree with somebody. But for a starter, Denny, one of the things that scares me is our First Amendment right. You know, if you and I disagree, fine. We can even disagree sharply. But that doesn't mean I hate you. It doesn't mean you're a disgusting human being. It just means you and I see a certain issue differently. That in itself is strength if we take advantage of it. But saying that we're somehow being treasonous by disagreeing absolutely runs against what I read in the Constitution and certainly in the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, sir. You know, I taught American government for 15 years at the local community college. And one of the questions I asked the first day of American government was, why do we celebrate the 4th of July? And in 15 years teaching, I had one student who knew that was the day that Congress passed the Declaration of Independence. A lot of them knew it was Independence Day, but they didn't know. 1776, didn't know anything about that. Now, right. I'm betting that a few students did know, but were too shy on the first day of class to say something. But clearly, knowing about our Constitution, having read it, knowing what it says, is something that I think families are responsible to do. You can't count on the schools, and even if you could count on the schools, why wouldn't the families want to be reviewing something as important as that? Is important to us as people and as a nation. I think we need to encourage families to be more, what, patriotic?
You know, Danny, I've got, you know, 12 grandkids, but the ones that have been around here, we've had them rotate duties, whether it's Memorial Day, 4th of July, Veterans Day, and we'd get together, have a picnic at our house, and we would spend the first 10 minutes or so with one of them having done a little research and telling us all about the meaning of this day. And it's been a great sort of a vehicle to teach them, to remind us, and to realize we can have fun, we can have a picnic, but that's not the most important activity by far. And unfortunately, as you've already alluded to, if you don't know this, if you don't know our history, you're pretty helpless to ward off a lot of these distortions of what America is, what we stand for, and what our values are.
Scott, go ahead. Make a final statement. We're about out of time. Wrap it up for us.
My final statement at this point would be this. As a Christian, and I would say a person of faith, living in a republic, living in a democracy, we have a civic, not only a spiritual, but a civic responsibility to cast our vote. And if I could encourage anything, it would be do some research, ask friends. You can find this information out and vote. Because if any of us want to complain about the direction that the United States of America is heading and we haven't voted, we have no right to say anything. And I couldn't be more emphatic about that. I think that's fair. And as quickly as things have turned around over the last couple of years, I believe they could turn around. And there is hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. We have millions of Americans who do not agree with the direction, but we've got to vote the right people into power to make these changes.
Amen, brother. Scott, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. And thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. And now, I'm proud that we're friends.
Well, it's always a joy, Denny, and thank you for your service, and thank you for this program that you've been running for so many years, and I pray that the listeners will take it to heart.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games, then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. And it's football season, and it's time for football co-host Quentin Roberts and me to review last weekend's Service Academy football games. It was an interesting weekend, wasn't it, Quentin?
Well, Denny, when the first leg of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy kicks off, it always gets interesting, and that was certainly the case when Air Force and Navy squared up.
That was a tighter game than I expected. Navy either pulled something out or Air Force didn't pull out as much as I thought, but it was sure worth watching, wasn't it?
It definitely was very compelling, Denny. I tell you what. And to go into it a little bit here, Air Force defeated the Naval Academy by the robust score of 13-10. And it was really a fourth quarter game. The Air Force Academy jumped out 10-0 when Hazeek Daniels hit David Cormier with an 80-yard touchdown pass to open the scoring. The Falcons went up 10-0 and were driving once again when Hazeek Daniels was stripped on, I think it was a 17-yard line. They were going in to score again. Navy stripped him and then were able to actually get another fumble just before the half where they were able to finally get on the board. And so Navy was able to get on the board at the half, and Air Force still seemed in control of the game. But Navy tied it up in the beginning of the fourth quarter when Ty Lavatai had a 5-yard touchdown run. But Air Force took the ball, 12-play, 71-yard drive, a score with 4 minutes left, field goal 13-10 to really seal the game. Navy just couldn't move the ball after that. But I tell you what, Kenny Niumatalolo absolutely emptied the playbook. They ran plays. I heard Coach Calhoun say, no, we hadn't seen many of those plays. And it would look like almost a totally different offense as Coach Ken really tried to, he passed a lot more than he usually does as Navy threw for 129 yards. And actually Air Force threw for 156. Air Force had a total of 356 yards to Navy's 243. But it was a tight fourth quarter game. Navy won the turnover battle 2-0, and that's what kept them in the game. But Air Force prevailed and goes up 1-0, so to speak, in the chase for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy.
Yes, sir. And Army lost, and they lost big, which it surprised the heck out of me they lost big. I thought they were going to win, but I certainly didn't think they'd lose big.
You're very right, Denny. As Georgia State came to the banks of the Hudson and to play Army, Georgia State was sporting a nice 0-4 record, and Army was 1-2. So they were trying to get back to 500 and kind of right the ship for their season. Georgia State was just really in desperation mode. But I tell you what, Denny, Georgia State just really jumped on Army. They must have had a Saturday morning inspection, and they were late getting to the field or something, because by the time they looked up at halftime, it was 17-0 Georgia State. The third quarter went a little better as Army finally got on the board with Tyheer Tyler having a one-yard run, and then he added another five-yard run at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So Army was within striking distance, 17-14 early in the fourth quarter. But then it was Georgia State who added two touchdowns after that to really pull away in the game. So it really was a closer game than you would think. When you look at the tail of the tape, Georgia State outgained Army 456-365. But that's a lot of fireworks. So, I mean, and Army still ran the ball for 354 yards. But like, you give up 456 yards, that's going to be tough to win. And Army, you know, turnovers again. They lost three turnovers to Georgia State's one. So, you know, they really dominated time of possession, 38 minutes to 21 minutes. But those turnovers were just too much for them to overcome against Georgia State as they dropped to 1-3 as they suffered a 31-14 loss to Georgia State.
They did indeed. Well, the Coast Guard Academy and Merchant Marine Academy, there was one win and one loss there, I think, right?
They did. The Coast Guard Academy Bears fell to 2-3 as they lost to Norwich in a tight one, 31-23. And it was the Merchant Marine Academy Mariners who moved to 3-1, defeating WPI 41-14. And next week, they will face Norwich. So Merchant Marine Academy is looking pretty good. Coast Guard Academy scuffling just a little bit.
Well, as an Army guy, I understand that. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking football with Quentin Roberts. Okay, this week, Army's at Wake Forest, Air Force at Utah State, and Navy at Tulsa, right?
That's right, Denny. Looking at Army, boy, you know, they have to travel to number 15 in the country, Wake Forest. So this is going to be a tough game. You know, the Demon Deacons are going to be favored in this game. And boy, again, Army just has to get back to playing Army football in order to put one in the win column. Air Force visits Utah State. You know, I tell you, it doesn't get any easier for them as Utah State is once again there, the defending Mountain West champs, and they are going to be tough in this game. And so Air Force is going to really have to play well on the road in order to come away with the victory. So that's going to be tough. You know, but Air Force, if they control the turnovers, again, that is the story. And for Navy, they are going to return to conference play, which is that American Athletic Conference is always tough. And boy, it's going to be a challenge as they host Tulsa.
Yes, sir. That's going to be a tough one. It is indeed. And we got time to talk about something that has happened to the Air Force Academy. They got a 2-year sanction, I think, for doing some. Talk to us about that.
Well, Denny, you know, and this is truly a black eye for the academy and the football program, as Air Force and four individuals reached an agreement with the NC2A enforcement staff on recruiting violations that occurred during the COVID-19 dead period. They didn't name the four individuals, but the penalties that will be effective immediately are 2 years of probation, a fine, a reduction of 46 total official visits for the football program in the 22-23 seasons and 23-24 academic years. Prohibition against unofficial visits from September 1 through October 12th of 2022. A prohibition against all recruiting communications in football for 4 weeks during the 22-23 academic year. A reduction in evaluation days by 10. And to me, the strongest penalty is a reduction of the football squad size by 10 for 4 years, starting with the 22-23 academic year and show cause orders for the individuals who have agreed to their violations and penalties. So again, this is, I don't know exactly what happened. Apparently during the dead period, whether it was they were contacting people or they were hosting visits during that time, whatever it was, apparently the Academy self-reported these actions and the NC2A penalized them for it. So that's where it is.
Okie doke. Well, let's hope all things work better than that. Quentin, thank you. Thanks for your insights, for being part of the team. We'll be back next week with all three service academies playing again.
All right, Danny, looking forward to it.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get ready. Let's do some more push-ups, about 60 this time. I want your ranger ready, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Front Lines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Sue, whose dad was in the Air Force, wants to know if the Air Force is really telling people not to use words like father, mother, son, and daughter anymore.
Sue, yes, it's stupid, but it's true.
You know, Colonel, just when you think it can't get any dumber, it gets dumber.
You know, and you can count on that, too.
And Sam, a Coast Guard vet, was happy to see the federal government and the state of Florida work together to deal with the huge storm.
That was a needed cooperation, and it showed there are still some good people working in government. We did well then. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's the first one?
Well, Colonel, on 13 October 1775, the Continental Congress authorized construction and administration of the first American naval force, the precursor of the United States Navy.
Well, we got to have a Navy, I guess.
Otherwise, how would the Marines get where they need to go?
Oh, that's true. Wow, I'm glad you brought that up. That is why they have one.
Well, the Navy sees it differently. Yeah, I know.
Well, that's them. And they're not here now. And on 10 October 1845, the U.S. Naval Academy opened in Annapolis, Maryland, with 50 midshipmen students and 7 professors. Known as the Naval School until 1850, the curriculum included mathematics and navigation, gunnery and steam, chemistry, English, natural philosophy, and French. Then in 1850, a new curriculum went into effect, requiring midshipmen to study at the academy for 4 years and to train aboard ships each summer, the basic format that remains true to this day.
And on 11 October 1942, during World War II, our Navy intercepted a Japanese fleet of ships on their way to reinforce troops at Guadalcanal. The Navy succeeded in its operation, sinking a majority of the Japanese ships in the Battle of Cape Esperance.
That was one heck of a big battle.
Well, you know, we rag on the Navy sometimes, but they are pretty good at what they do.
Yes, indeed. And we'll admit that, but not if there's any of them around. And on 12 October 1960, in one of the most surreal moments in the history of the Cold War, while at the UN, Russian leader Nikita Khrushchev removed his shoe and pounded a table with it in protest against a speech critical of Soviet policy in Eastern Europe. During a debate over a Russian resolution decrying colonialism, a representative of the Philippines charged the Soviets with employing a double standard, pointing to their domination of Eastern Europe as an example of the colonialism that they were criticizing in their resolution. In response, Khrushchev furiously pounded the table. The chaotic scene finally ended when General Assembly President Frederick Boland from Ireland broke his gavel, calling the meeting to order, but not before the image of Khrushchev as a hot-headed buffoon was indelibly etched into America's memory.
On 11 October 1961, at a meeting of the National Security Council, President John Kennedy was asked by his advisors to accept as a real and ultimate objective the defeat of the Viet Cong. The Joint Chiefs of Staff estimated that 40,000 U.S. troops could clean up the Viet Cong threat and another 120,000 could cope with possible North Vietnamese or Chinese communist intervention. Kennedy wanted to prevent the fall of South Vietnam to the communist insurgents. He sent General Maxwell Taylor to Vietnam to study the situation. Ultimately, Kennedy would send advisors, helicopters, and other military support to South Vietnam to aid President Ngo Dinh Diem in his fight against the Viet Cong.
And he did, but that didn't seem to do the trick. And on 14 October 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis began, bringing the U.S. and Soviet Union to the brink of nuclear conflict. Photographs taken by a high-altitude U-2 spy plane offered incontrovertible evidence that Soviet-made medium-range missiles were in Cuba, capable of carrying nuclear warheads, and now stationed 90 miles off the American coastline. I was a cadet at West Point then, and we thought we were all going to go to war. But we didn't.
I was in kindergarten, and ignorance was bliss, Colonel. And on 10 October 1965, during the Vietnam War, in the first major operation since arriving the previous month, our 1st Cavalry Division, Air Mobile, joined with South Vietnamese Marines to strike at 2,000 North Vietnamese troops 25 miles from An Khe in the Central Highlands. The 1st Cavalry Division was a new kind of division, which was built around the helicopter in the air mobile concept. The division contained 434 helicopters and had the capability to move one-third of its combat power at one time into terrain inaccessible to normal infantry vehicles. During its first major mission, faulty U.S.-South Vietnamese coordination prevented their forces from entrapping the North Vietnamese Army forces, but they managed to reopen Route 19 between Pleiku and An Khe, the main east-west supply route in the region. During the course of its employment in South Vietnam, the 1st Cavalry Division would prove to be one of the most effective combat units in the war.
And on 10 October 1969, the U.S. Navy transferred 80 River Patrol boats to the South Vietnamese Navy in the largest single transfer of naval equipment since the war began. This was part of the ongoing Vietnamization program, which had been announced by President Richard Nixon at Midway in June. Under this program, the U.S. sought to turn over responsibility for fighting to the South Vietnamese so that U.S. troops could be withdrawn from Vietnam. The plan included a massive transfer of equipment and weapons to the South Vietnamese and a stepped-up training program by U.S. advisors designed to prepare the South Vietnamese armed forces to stand alone against the communist opponents. The transfer of U.S. vessels by the U.S. Navy was only part of the effort that also included modernization of the South Vietnamese Air Force and new tanks, artillery pieces, and other weapons and equipment for the Army of South Vietnam.
And on 10 October 1985, the hijacking of the Italian cruise ship Achille Lauro reached a dramatic climax when U.S. Navy F-14 fighters intercepted an Egyptian airliner attempting to fly the Palestinian hijackers to freedom and forced the jet to land at a NATO base in Sigonella, Sicily. American and Italian troops surrounded the plane, and the terrorists were taken into Italian custody.
The Navy did a good job again. I guess we have to admit that, don't we?
We do, Colonel.
And on 12 October 2000, at 12:15 p.m. local time, a motorized rubber dinghy loaded with explosives blew a 40 by 40 foot hole into the port side of the USS Cole, a Navy destroyer that was refueling in Aden, Yemen. 17 sailors were killed and 38 wounded in the attack, which was carried out by two suicide terrorists allegedly to be members of Saudi exile Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda terrorist network. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, And we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Jeremy King was at his home when two armed men wearing masks and hoods broke inside. As soon as they got to the back door opened, they had a pistol on me and grabbed my 11-year-old daughter. I'm telling them, I have nothing for you. And they're like, give me everything you got. One of the burglars pistol whipped King, and another kicked him in the head, creating a commotion that attracted the attention of his wife, who retreated and grabbed a legally owned AR-15, returned to the room and shot the intruders, hitting one of them. The man was later found dead in the ditch, according to the news outlet. The other burglar fled when his friend was shot. The husband suffered a fractured eye socket, a fractured sinus cavity, and a concussion, and needed 20 stitches and 3 staples in his head.
Thanks, Colonel. If you listen to the left-leaning mainstream media, then the mere mention of an AR-15 strikes fear in the average American's heart. They'll tell you that it's an evil black gun and refer to it as a military-style assault rifle. But I'm here to tell you that it's all a big lie. An AR-15 is just a modern sporting rifle. It's semi-automatic, not fully automatic, like most news reporters believe. Every time you pull the trigger, you get one round fired. If you want another shot, then you have to pull the trigger again. It works the same way as your concealed carry pistol. One trigger press equals one shot. The AR in AR-15 doesn't stand for assault rifle. That's something the far-left media cooked up. It stands for Armalite, which is the name of the company that produced the first AR-15 prototype back in the 1950s. But the U.S. military didn't want a semi-automatic carbine. They wanted a carbine capable of firing fully automatic. So the first prototype was modified to meet that requirement, and that's how we got the M16 carbine, which was used extensively throughout the last half of the 20th century. Since then, it's been modified even further to create the M4 carbine, which is capable of firing 3-round burst or semi-auto. There are other M4 variants that can fire fully automatic as well. But the main point is this. The AR-15 isn't an evil black gun that wreaks mayhem on the civilian public. The AR-15 is fast becoming the homeowner's go-to gun for home defense, and for good reason. The 5.56mm or 223 caliber cartridge hits much harder than a pistol round, and the 30-round magazine makes it ideal for home protection against multiple assailants. As many home invaders work in pairs or small teams, the extra firepower and magazine capacity is a must-have feature when going up against a team of home invaders. This pregnant mama bear did a great job defending not only her own life and her daughter, but also the life of her husband. Allow me to modify the age-old saying, behind every successful man is a good woman, aiming an AR-15 with a 30-round magazine. Front Lines of Freedom salutes Mrs. King for her bravery, quick action, and her straight shooting.
Well said, bro. Our movie of the month is The Migrants. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd appreciate getting your comments about it. It's really a different movie. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Congressman Scott Perry will discuss some of our nation's challenges. Then Navy vet Steve Underwriter will discuss planning for work after you get out of the military service. And General Chris Petty will present the battle of the month. And of course, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.